Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Good for Construction, a podcast dedicated to architects and architecture in India. And I'm your host, Isha Bajaj. In season one, we talk to architects across India who are now successfully running their own enterprises and companies. We talk to them about their journeys of the transition from architecture school to getting a job and finally starting their own business. And today we have in studio Saurabh Suryan of Suryan & Dang. To give our listeners a little context, Suryan & Dang is a collaborative practice for visual storytelling through various mediums. They form this practice to help architects photograph their works. They also host a variety of works ranging from portraiture, landscape, documentary photography, and filmmaking. Saurabh studied architecture from Sushant School of Art and Architecture, Gurgaon, and worked as an architect in various renowned firms across India before establishing the photography practice in Delhi. Lokesh studied PGD in creative photography from Sri Aurobindo Center for Arts and Communication and has been practicing as a documentary photographer, for which he has won a National Media Award. They've also exhibited their works at various galleries across the nation. Welcome, Saurabh.
Thanks. And so, thanks for calling us a company. It's just very formal.
Is it not?
It's strange. It's like a cloud. You know, people come, join in. I mean, of course, me and Lokesh, we stay part of it. Mm-hmm. But there are all these guys plugging in and plugging out. Writers, filmmakers, people who help us with the sound, mm-hmm. Musicians. All sorts of...
That's very interesting because the architect I interviewed before, Neeraj Toshi, he was talking about this format where, you know, it's not as rigid as a company is, where, you know, if someone needs to come in, you need to go through a set of interviews and all of that barriers. He's like, it should be free-flowing, you know?
Yeah.
It should be semi-permeable, where people come in and people go out and, you know, you're doing projects together.
Agreed.
And then you're not doing projects together.
Yeah.
You know, you finish one and maybe you want to collaborate later.
Yeah.
So it's very cool. So let's start with how you would define Suryan & Dang and what is this entity all about?
So currently what our practice, which is primarily Lokesh and me, we do help or sort of collaborate with various architects and designers in terms of letting or helping them express something they would have, you know, it's about their what they would have constructed in their thought process, and that exact thing needs to be relayed in a visual format. So one of the things which they collaborate with, we were a lot like these guys who render for them. So it's just that they're doing it on a, they're photographers of the virtual format, we are photographers of the real format.
So you frame their visions.
We, exactly. Thank you. Thank you for framing my words. So we do help them frame their vision. So in terms of how do they want to represent design, because a lot of times, designs as seen in the in their visual 2D formats aren't as great as how they are experientially, and vice versa as well. So it's about like how do you possibly enhance that particular experience when you look at an image and be like, wow, I want to go there, or you know, I want to be part of it.
Personally, I think it's a very difficult balance to strike because architecture is mostly experiential, right? I mean, you see it in with your eyes, you might or might not want to go there. Or if you see a really attractive picture, and a really good example of that is Zomato.
Yeah.
If you want to go to a restaurant, you're like, acha, okay, how does this look?
Yeah.
And you go there and like, oh, this is like,
it really
isn't. This is not what it looks like. So it's, I think it's very difficult to strike that balance of what it really is and what you make it look like.
Yeah, it's I completely agree to that because what it does is it plays with your psychology a lot because if you're looking at an image in a relaxed, on a relaxed, say you're in your setting, you're in a car or you're at home and you look at a visual and there are no further distractions. So what it does is that there's a direct engagement with the content versus what you're absorbing with that particular visual. Mm-hmm. And portraits work better than landscapes because, you know, greater carpet area on your phone. So that's also one of the things which we tell when we take our workshops that, you know, shoot more portraits because you'll get more this thing. So, whereas when you're experiencing, you have sort of this mix of, you know, you're walking, maybe you're tired, the kind of luggage or items you're carrying, company, clothes you're wearing, the temperature of the place you're going to, the fragrance, you know, the lighting, the mood itself. Yeah. And your expectations, you're going for a date and you have certain, you know, expectations built up in your head.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's your birthday or you're just going there for nothing. And then you don't care about how the place is. It's that you get your Zomato 1+1. You know, as long as you... Actually, it's a mix of a lot of things. And to sort of flatten that entire thing out and making it a 2D visual, it's... I don't think... Like, I know my entire profession and, you know, my bread and butter comes from it. But I don't think... It's not... you can't even compare it. It's... you can't define architecture with just a photograph.
That's true. That's true. And that's why I think what you guys are doing is not only commendable, but it's very challenging at the same time. So what you were talking
the
about
current,
what you do.
Yeah, huh? So currently we're part of various things. Me and Lokesh particularly, what we are trying to do is we go to architects and architects do call us and they tell us, you know, we got a project in line and it's going to get finished in X date. And we go down to their residence, commercial project, cafes, maybe a chair, you know, so you land up on this these various spectrums of, you know, how people are expressing in design. So it could be anything from, you know, two materials meeting to a massive skyscraper. So it's always challenging because you don't know what your day is going to be like. You don't know if you're hanging from a crane on a 22 floor building or you're scraping some polish off a table corner because the photograph, it'll show up in the photograph. So it's mostly that, but the most exciting ones are when you sort of get to travel in these locations where you expect nothing to be built. And there are these architects who are going down there and building. So recently we were in North Sikkim photographing for someone and the kind of temperatures they had to build, let alone photographing it was difficult, but imagine someone building it. Next week we are traveling for 2 weeks to Leh and Kargil. They did Kashmir University there. And I mean, I can't be more excited about it. So
there is
so slowly, like, there has been this sort of a transverse in terms of doing less of city-based projects because I don't know whether we are too saturated with it or what has happened exactly. We're just looking for, like, more exciting works in terms of, you know, new challenges and conditions particularly. But architects have been, like, mostly of our sort of focus.
Clients,
friends. So it's mostly been about that. That how do you make sure that, you know, what they want to say is said right.
So when did you get the idea of starting Kitchen Tank? Because Lokesh has a background in photography, but you've done your architecture, but have you received any kind of formal education in photography? Or
no, to an extent, actually, I don't even own a camera.
What?
Yeah. So it, I have known Lokesh for past 15 years now. So my dad was in the Air Force, so he had a transfer job. So one of the schools, I went to like around 11 schools in my entire this thing. And so when I was doing that, one of the schools I met Lokesh, which was in Gurgaon. And so when I met him, that nothing really happened. We were just like, you know, two kids trying to do something. He had a cool scooty, Activa. So we used to, like, you know, go on rides with him. And so all of that used to happen. Then we sort of detached. Then I moved on to another school and then slowly landed up. I started doing engineering for a bit. So that was at Ansel's Institute.
Oh, really? And I didn't know that.
Yeah, neither did I. So because there was this notion of, you know, engineering being a safer option and doing all of that. And there was nobody fathomed, like, there's something called career counseling or kids might have, like, different interests. That's why people are going crazy at this age, because if they would have gone crazy at that age exploring what they can, they wouldn't have been, you know, venturing out and doing that now. So career counseling is definitely something which is of a great exposure, actually. You should take your kids out, you know, you should, it's about you know, exposing yourself to more things until right. unless you be like, okay, yeah, maybe this is what I want to do.
Right.
And so I started doing that. And I saw a couple of kids in my school bus, in my college bus, carrying these physical models. And I was like, what the hell is that? Yeah, I have like a lunchbox and these guys have this thing. I was like, what is this? So then slowly I made friends with few people, and I started going to their place to help them with their models.
Oh.
And I got really excited by that. To excitement to an extent that I didn't even give my like first year engineering examination.
Oh, wow.
So I really left it, and then I
that's
started
really some solid excitement.
It really was. So that's where things go like not aligned.
Yeah.
Which is still the case. Yeah. So I left it completely, and and my parents are like more than of a devil's company when it comes to this. They're like, okay, beta, like go ahead, do it. You know, it's gonna ruin your life, but go, please do it. It's fine as long as you're happy. So that's also not good parents' behavior, as opposed to keeping them shackled. So
you gotta strike that balance.
Yeah, they really need to. Yeah. They still need to. So they said, yeah, go ahead and do that. So I gave my exam, and I got into architecture, and then I was just there, getting rabbed day in and out, and all of that
so
exploring. It really was. And it's Shitish will also tell you about it. He's also one of the ones
Shitish
who got
for me. Shitish was the ragger. I was the raggy.
Is that?
I was swimming in the air, and all of that was happening.
So that bit happened, and then I didn't even realize initial 2 to 3 years at what exactly is happening, because you are in such a different space, because nobody belongs to a design, photography or architecture per se. Like, no one in my entire family. I have a massive extended family which lives in West Delhi. And nobody had any idea. I was like, what is this happening? And I'm making models, and of course I can't put things together. So my brother's making models with me. My mother's making models with me. Okay? My brother's girlfriend is making models with me. Because I was like, I don't know what exactly this is, because I was insanely, like, as much as I was excited, I was also frustrated with the process, because I was like, bloody, there is no definite answer to this thing. You keep
it's
doing
so
it.
Subjective.
Yeah. And even to a point when I was working on the models, because there was this physical engagement, and I always had this thing for rod jobs. Not like I really needed the money. It was just nice, because what I would do is strike a barter. So I would make models for the entire class, and then they would do my drawings, my writings, and doing all of that. So I was doing that for like my current, my batchmates I was doing that for. And slowly like the word spread to the seniors. They started hiring me for their thesis models. Okay. So I would be staying at their places, making models and doing that. So I got into that loop.
I never heard that. Okay, for context, Saurabh and I are from the same batch, same college. He's 2 years senior to me. Alright, so how come I never heard of...
Because the appreciation trickles up, not trickles down.
That's true.
To a point, like when someone inquires on Facebook, they're looking for model makers, people still tag me. I was like, I'm not doing the same thing still. Come on, guys. But I tell them, if you're paying me good, I'll definitely do it.
So here you are doing models for the entire class and for seniors.
Yeah.
How did you get into photography?
So at that point, there was a very... I would never go for family gatherings, because you're an architect who's antisocial and you can't make up with other people.
I didn't live with my family, so I wouldn't know.
So lucky. So at that point, what had happened was I landed up at this gathering of this extended family I was mentioning. And there was this uncle of mine. He made book covers. He still does. So, very small setup he has.
Illustrations
and
the binding part.
Type. No, just covers. Kind of covers you see with someone's face and text and, all of that. So, he only makes covers, So, textbooks and CBSE and writers and all of that. So, he only like design, Corel Draw stuff.
Okay.
So, he would only do that. And his days at Delhi College of Arts, he bought a... very crappy Russian USSR made camera, because Zenith ET, and a lot of people who might be into it know it, because that's like the Nataraj pencil of
pencils for an architect.
No, like a Nataraj pencil of like analog cameras, because it's a very cheap model and it's the most circulated one as well.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a Kodak.
Ah, okay. Got it. Understood.
So I got that and I was playing around with in my third year when I was struggling with like working drawings.
Hmm.
So at that point I was like, oh, you know, what exactly is happening? I can't make models and get away from it.
Yeah.
So then I started finding alternative interests and then I started photographing on college trips and, you know, just going out and doing that.
With that camera.
With that particular camera. And it's very nice because you've got like, you've got 30 frames out of 36 and you can mess up like all of them if you're really good at it and not get a single frame out of it. So that happened with like a couple of roles before I realized that there are no more developing shops. So you couldn't develop the...
I know a place in CP which owns like cameras which are up to 100 years. I don't know the name, but I chanced upon this when I was... I still am actually. I still want to get into... I want to develop a picture. So that is one thing I want to do. It's like on my to-do list.
Yeah.
Like, in that like red room, I want to like... I want to see how it's done. Like just to feel...
Yeah, you should come over. We're developing a dark room.
Great, let's do that. So... that's how I kind of came across that shop.
So this particular one, when there were no more developing shops. That means that I still have some roles which are undeveloped from my third year. I don't know what exactly is in there. I don't even like want to know. So I stopped doing that. And so that's the time when Lokesh had come over and he said, what is this thing? And I said, I don't use it anymore. So why don't you take it?
Okay.
And this is the time when Lokesh is, by the way, also from the same campus, from Ansal Institute.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So
engineering?
No. He's a banking insurance guy. He's a finance guy.
Oh, my God.
So when he took the camera, he was frustrated with his... Citibank New York job, and he said, I want to do something, you know, I don't want to. And he was working the night shift, so his entire cycle was fucked.
This is a free advertising for Ansal University. We have so many.
I'm gonna call people and tell them.
Successful.
See, your sponsors are right there,
I know.
Right around the corner. You just have to look out for them.
You need to pay me for it. Anji, so.
So like just out of excitement, he would drive the cab which would come and pick him up, just out of, you know, just to do something
different
like out of his regular job. Yeah, exactly.
My God.
He would do that and he would be like, okay, the cab guy would like, you know, go at the back and sleep, and he would go and drive around because he wants some sort of physical liberation. He wants to do that. And then he chanced upon the camera. Then he started, you know, exploring that. And then I got busy with my thesis and everything. And I left for... So on the day of my thesis, the evening I was at my internship. So I didn't lose like a... so I've got this complex of like trying to be like overproductive and messing it up.
Yeah.
So so I want to like do everything without a pause, and I burn out and I mess everything up.
Yeah.
So my life crashes every month, and then like, I restructure.
You want everything to just flow into one, into the other. Into
yeah,
the other.
Exactly. Like, because my life is a movie, because you know it'll all pan out completely fine. So that's not how it goes exactly. So that was my first job at Studio Mumbai.
Okay.
So Bijoy Jain, being how he is, was one of my most sort of landmark experiences, because I was fired every single day, and I was sort of employed every single day because they were like, go fuck off. Then you go do your bit. And it was in Alibag in South of Bombay, and it was right next to the sea. So to a point that if a high tide hits with the rain, studio would be flooded. You know, it's literally that. And it's a beautiful, beautiful space which doesn't exist now because they're also very bad with funds, how we are.
Okay.
So they had to relocate and do all of that. But so they would, you know, they would fire you every day, you go by the sea, have some, you know, internal monologue. You'd be like, okay, this is something I'll speak about in a podcast someday. So you would do all of that, then you go back and do this thing. So, and no sleep, like, one night, like 4 hours in 3 days, something like that. And so it was very laborious.
Yeah.
And works weren't even like that, you know, that exciting in terms of, because, you know, you've just finished a thesis, you know, you've finished a mega project which was due for 4 years.
And you want to be now.
And
but then.
And then you're cleaning someone's library, like literally dusting things off, you know, Baba books, and you're trying to do that, and you're refilling the printer, made chai also a couple of times. So this went on for a couple of months before I finally went like, okay, this is not like what I want to be part of. So I left that job.
How did you get the studio? Do you apply for Studio Mumbai?
I did apply, and I was one of the lucky ones who got a response.
Oh, okay.
And I had to say, they called me at 11:30 at night. Wow. Because that's the only time that guy was free who was hiring us.
Wow.
So he said, come on Skype. I was like, I'm smashed, like, you know, I can't come this thing. So I'm doing my bits to get sober. And, you know, I still remember my Skype interview. I am wearing a shirt and boxers underneath, and I'm sitting there with, I cleaned up my wall because, you know, I want to do this thing. So, and they're interviewing me.
They've kind of made it a thing now on web series, nowhere. Oh, the boss called the radar, and then you're like, oh, just tidy up the part that they can see. And then just wear like shit under that. It's kind of become like, I don't know, it's not a stereotype, but it's like it's a very familiar visual.
It is.
But you had that before it became.
Because that's the need of the hour. Like, you can't do anything about it. And so that particular thing was happening, and they said, okay, if you come by this date, we'll take you, otherwise we'll go. So they were on and on about it, and I really wanted to work with them. That's only, I only applied to like two or three places where I really wanted to work. I was like, otherwise I don't want to work. So frustration level like reaches there by the end of the course. But when I was there, I didn't do anything great in terms of producing. I was given the job of documentation, like photographing each and every model. They would make like these tiny models for their projects and for exhibition spaces and everything. So I would keep going to, you know, model to model and person, craftsman to craftsman, and keep documenting things, writing things down. So it's like cataloging jobs. I booked like flight tickets and doing all of that. So once I left there, I came back to Delhi. And first thing I did was I shaved my head.
Wow.
So, like, this is, you know, it's a new start.
Yeah,
so I'm doing that. And I didn't know anything.
It's therapeutic. I mean, I've also not shaved my head, but I've like cut off. I had like longer hair, and I was like, chop it all off. And then
it really is, right?
It's like liberating. It's like, now I can start fresh. Like, now it's gonna be
It's like taking a dump for your soul.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, okay, this is a new beginning. Yeah. Put on a new shirt, shave it, and you're good to go. So that was happening, and I was literally doing nothing. I would just go to office to office, and this is my internship period. I'm supposed to like complete number of weeks. And I'm just going from offices to offices trying to say that, you know, this is what I'm doing. And they were like, okay, where were you working before? I said, Chudum. They were like, are you stupid? You left that job and came. I said, are you going to hire me or not? So they said, we don't have a spot because it was mid-internship, whatever. So I didn't get a job.
It's absolutely full.
It was packed. And they were like, oh, come work for us, we'll be all free. So I told them, okay, that's like very, very nice, very cute of you, but no, this is not how things are gonna run.
Yeah.
So then I finally got a call from Ahmedabad, from this place called Arya Architects. So those guys are massive in their government jobs and doing this thing. But again, a place I didn't want to go, but I had spoken to one of the people who sort of gave me this gyan. I am forgetting their name at this point. Who said that you have to do those drawings, you have to do your GFCs, your good for construction drawings, for you to understand that what exactly is that grind to produce something. So when they had offered me that job, I had that in my mind. I said, okay, I'm gonna go there, I'm gonna stick around, I'm not gonna leave that job, because, you know, I don't want to be that guy who leaves that job and, you know, just keeps going to offices, keeps doing that. So I went there, I did my bit. So 3 months passed by. I told my boss, Vijay Arya. So I told him, I was like, sir, not working.
not
happening. I can be more productive at something else. And I don't want to be a bad guy because I can't do a job which I don't like. I don't want to be, you know, that person that you be like, oh, you do it. Then I can't do it because I don't want to do it. I'm telling you clearly. So he hooked me up with his father-in-law, who's Kulbushan Jain, who's a conservationist. That was an insane job. So we were in, we would be in Sambar, which is a Salt Lake city. In this is west of Jaipur, around 1.5 hours. Still not ruined. not a lot of tourists. It's a beautiful town. It is still in its abandonedness and its glory, however it was, it would have been pre-independence. So it's still like that. And a lot of people are moving to cities and desertifying the village because they don't have enough opportunities there. So all of that has been happening. So they're trying to like bring in more tourism and do something something. So that was a very, very good job because I would be on the field. Yeah. And I enjoyed it. And I'm originally from Rajasthan. So when I get back to the soil, I'll be like, okay, this is, you know, home. I don't mind being here.
Yeah.
So that also went on for another 2 months.
Huh.
Before I told him, then I had to had something. I had some medical reason. I had to quit from there. I went back home. Sort of fixed myself up for another 2 months. Ultimately, when I applied to Sameep Adora.
Okay.
Sameep's thing was very exciting. I had moved to Bombay finally. I was in Bombay.
Okay.
When I was working with Studio Mumbai, it was in Bombay. It was south of there. And it was a random beach. So I was finally in the city. And we were living in Bandra. So it was one of the most like cinematic experiences I've had of my life.
Yeah.
So it took me 2 years to burn out of that.
Yeah.
So I was working on exhibitions, on 3D printing, prototyping models and making films. I made music. Like,
how was this happening? I mean, I remember because when I was applying to studios, all I had was, I had this very shitty portfolio with all the college ki drawings and all of that, very substandard work. And people would just, you know, there were, you just showered with rejection, at least during internship.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, I'm sorry, fool, sorry, fool, sorry, fool.
Yeah.
So like one person is like, please come for an interview. I'm like, thank God. I mean, I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
So how are you being showered with these opportunities? I mean, Sameep Adora.
Of course, I'm
like
skipping on to the bad parts. No, I also like, I was very certain and I would bug people if they, I want to go to your studio. I don't care like how much money you're paying me unless my things are covered, right? I'm not there to make money. I'm there to like gain some certain experience which your studio might offer, right?
Yeah,
so I'm in that exploration zone, which I still am in, sadly.
And did people appreciate, I mean, did the employer or the architect you were trying to
Yeah, they love it. Like even like me being an employer today, I love it when someone's persistent but not that great in terms of their skill set because they want to learn, they want to do it. And I kid you not, it's extremely difficult then finding such a person. Especially in Delhi. It's very, very difficult. People have skill sets and they are high-headed. I don't know what they're doing. But I'm not saying that as a journalist, this thing. I don't want to be that guy. But it's difficult to find people who want to do things and they want to do things, you know. They want to learn and they want to explore things. It's very difficult to find that kind of energy anymore.
It's a very different experience from what, I mean, I've had personally in internships. I mean, they were great experiences, but, you know, you've got to have, like, a skill set to survive. You can't you can't be like, oh, I really want to do this, but I don't know anything. So they'd be like, no, sorry, not going to work.
See, that was my thing. They don't know what kind of skill set I have, but I was very adamant that, buddy, I want to work with you. Like, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but we have to give it a shot. I'll come. I was like, you don't want me, I'll come anyway. So that's how it had happened. I did get immensely, I wouldn't say lucky, but things like, you know, sort of chanced upon and they did work out. I can't like say that, you know, it was all good. But things did go sort of north for me in that particular situation. So after Sameep's, then again, like that was happening and similar to the kind of studio we are currently sitting in. And so I was doing that. And for 2 years, barely any sleep. And we were working day in and out, working on renders, some digital works, different things. Very, very, very strange and exciting as well. And getting to know Bombay, the city itself, was sort of a turning point. So when all of that was happening, then of course you reach a tipping point. And when that happened, I called Lokesh. I told him, I said, so Bombay doesn't pay much. So my last paycheck was some 16, 18 grand. And I'm pretty sure it's been like 5 years and still they still pay that or maybe less.
It's the same, I think, everywhere. Even in Bangalore, I know it's the same. I think it's lesser than Bombay. Or will they don't pay at all. And yeah, I think Delhi is the highest paying out of all the states. I don't know about Ahmedabad.
Because it's horrible to be here. That's why it's called the compensating.
You're literally killing yourself.
Yeah.
Physically. You go, money, die.
Every breath is costing you that. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So with Sameer's this thing, so when I told him, I was like, I've got my last paycheck and, I've told him that, I can't do it anymore. And things were getting rough at that point. So I told them, they also told me, they were like, let's look for something else. And then I told them, okay. So I had sent all my stuff back. So I was moving cities then because I've been there for 2 years now. Made extremely good friends. Like some people who are still, part of my life. And if I have something which is there that needs to be discussed or I want to be in a rather more comfortable spot or people, I will fly to that city and be with them. Like it's that sort of situation which I usually not find in Delhi.
Yeah.
So that is something which you really explore when you're sort of alone in a city. The kind of friends you meet, they really turn into your family.
Yeah. I mean, I was in Bangalore in 2016. And I mean, I'm still in touch with, and only for like 6 months, not too long.
Yeah, they touch and go, right? And still the same.
It's the same. I mean, it's, and honestly, the people there were so great, and my experience there was insane, mostly because of the people that I was working with. I mean, they were so much fun to be with. It was quite incredible. I get what you're saying. Like,
your company adds up to this thing. My breaking point also came because a lot of my friends, they sort of
moved out.
Uh-huh. Yeah. They were going to their masters, other things. And I remember when my really close friend who was there, which I didn't realize until like she left. And then, we met in a different country when we were speaking and we realized that we were really close. And then I remembered when she was leaving and I told her, I was like, I don't think I'll survive here like much longer because it gets tough and you need like emotional support. Yeah. So I told her, I was like, I don't think I care about what I'm building, but I at least want to meet good people.
Yeah.
And I want to have good conversations.
Right.
I was like, that's the only thing I'll probably remember. I don't know which what I worked on.
I completely agree with you, like on so many levels.
So
because,
that was something which really hit me. Then I told Lokesh, I was like, you want to see some good stuff. So he said, okay, yeah. So he said, I'm bored with my this job thing. No, this happened a year before that. Sorry. This was like 1 year. Me 1 year into Bombay, and then he.
And that is which year?
This would have been 14 or 15. I'm
long back.
Really, yeah, this happened long back. So he was like, I'm done with my job, man. So I told him that, you've been photographing, so why didn't you do that? And he was doing well on Instagram.
Okay.
So to a point, he's got 25,000 followers now.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was doing well because he was, that came of frustration.
Yeah.
You're really venting it out onto a format which you will bloody explore.
You're using your energies in a productive way. That's the best kind of
Which came out of, that.
Yeah.
So he was doing that. I said, you're photographing in Delhi and, around. And so I was like, come to Ahmedabad. We'll meet up in Ahmedabad. We'll go to a few more places. And by the time he was done with this photography course. So he took that 1 year to study photography and then he was like, I want to do something, but he also didn't have any commercial or clientele direction as well. He had a skill set. He knew photography now because he wanted to know. Digital analog, this and that. He knew all of it. Skill set was good. But again, he was shooting like random events and birthday parties, this and that. So he was trying to make ends meet. So I told him I've got this much money. I don't know how many places we'll be able to go with that. So I said let's meet up in Ahmedabad. So that was the point when we met in Mill Owner's Building. So we sort of reunited So when I in the retrospect, we were just having fun around and it's a very difficult building to photograph and also to gain access for. So we had to bribe that guy, go to his house to get him gifts and all of that. So we took a week to photograph that building,
wow.
which is also one of the maximum we have taken yeah. to cover any project.
And is that what you featured on, I don't know, Instagram and your website? I've seen your
yeah, so
work on...
So luckily, that those photographs have been to a lot of places and mm. have made like immense amount of sales. But mm. not that how that that's how it holds value.
Mm-hmm.
But there was me and him photographing, like, you know, a subject. So he would go to one room, I would go shoot the elevation, something, something, and mm. we would come back to the place where staying with a friend,
mm-hmm.
and we would keep looking at each other's photographs and telling, oh, yeah, this is nice, that is nice. So that started to happen, and mm-hmm. then we would shoot a lot of street. So
mm-hmm.
we had some 10-15,000 bucks, and we spent it out around 40 days
mm-hmm.
yeah, with that money. So we were staying like accommodation. So this was like we covered most of Gujarat and Rajasthan, traveling almost every city, like you can name it. Like we were
10,000 rupees.
We were still left with like 500-600 bucks by the time we came back home.
Start a travel blog.
I've been wanting to write about it,
you
because we were doing
that.
State travel,
yeah.
Like state buses travel. So travel would cost like 30 bucks.
30 bucks is
to
very
move to a different city, and we would stay in only accommodation which would cost us 100 or 150 bucks both.
Please write,
guys.
Write a travel blog, because I am like personally
yeah.
Travel is something that I really like to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, go to new places. It just refreshes you completely. But the money is like crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You
it
know?
Can really kill. Like, these days we travel and we stay in like good places. We hate it.
Yeah.
We don't like it because we want to stay in like, you know, that's much more this thing. Exploratory. But
it's difficult to transition from a tourist into a traveler. It's
definitely.
Only when it, because for me, only when it was thrown at my face,
yeah.
like when I was working at DA, I was literally thrown into the deep end. And I mean, I had no other option but to stay in this very, very, very rundown place.
Yeah.
I mean, which was nice for that area
yeah.
because it
yeah.
was high up in the hills
yeah.
in an isolated village.
Yeah.
I mean, for that, it was great. But I mean, being a city person, I've never, you know, stayed in that kind of
space
before. So basically what I'm trying to say is like, unless they just, you know, you're thrown into the deep end.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to transition from
tourist
into a traveler.
Until it lands up in your lap,
you can't
transition.
Yeah, yeah. But completely. Please write that blog.
Okay. You would have to help me with that, otherwise just...
Done.
Yeah.
Done. I am jobless anyway. Okay. So, in terms of, I would just want to clarify things in terms of years. So you graduated in...
Good question. This is... I would have to
I graduated
say,
in 2017. So you were 2 years older to me. 2015?
15. 14, I would say.
14. So after you did your internship, then you graduated in 14, 15 somewhere.
Yeah, I was still working with Sameep at that point.
So how many years did you work there?
2 years.
Acha.
Yeah.
So we've...
Our internships were like a couple of months. Each.
So we come down to 2017.
No, 16.
16 is when
mid 16
is when you've quit. And is that when you spoke to Lokesh?
No, so early 16 I had quit already. It was Feb.
Hmm.
We traveled until March got too hot.
Achha.
To stay in like non-air conditioned places.
Ha. Ha.
So then we just hit back home. From
and
there.
Then what happened?
Then we came back. I was actually not doing anything in particular. I knew one thing. I don't want to stay at home. That was very clear to me. So that particular point of time, I had I was looking for actually accommodation more than anything.
Okay.
And
in Delhi?
In Delhi, specifically in Delhi, because I have not lived in Delhi.
Okay.
I have been here as a kid. My grandparents were here.
Yeah.
I have visited.
Mm-hmm.
But as a independent person, I have never lived in Delhi.
Okay.
And it's as scary as it is. It's nice as well to live here.
Mm-hmm.
So I was actually looking for an accommodation, and I did finally meet someone named Richa. And we sort of took up a spot which was somewhere central. She lived in North Delhi and I lived in Gurgaon.
Okay.
So we got a space and we said, she wanted a living spot. I wanted just like a studio space where I could see what I want to do. Just that. So that particular point when you had mentioned about finances also, that was funded by my father.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of gave me some, I wouldn't say it was sufficient, but it's just that it gave me some money to keep my like food and like, you know, other things running, and my college laptop sort of came in handy at that point because I didn't have any money to sort of invest in any new venture.
So did you talk at this point, were you in conversation with Lokesh about starting some work?
Funny enough, because when we sort of parted ways in Rajasthan, we were in Bundi, and we were 2 days into it, and then he got a call from Calcutta where one of the politicians wanted a photographer. And he enjoys, or his main motive is to work around social issues. So most of
the
his works have been
thing is to work around social issues or
location. Yeah, so no, it's just that social issues they circulate or they sort of wrap themselves around not exactly politicians but social workers and people who are doing their IS jobs, and you know, people who have these opportunities where they engage with people who have that sort of a discomfort. May it be racial discomfort or some sort of violence at home, work, anywhere, or nature-related issues like NGT and stuff, and other like spiritual discomforts or religious discomforts, or it could be just political as well. So that's where his sort of interest lies, that, you know, how do you express those things, you know, in a visual format. So that also is something which I find very interesting. I can't do it because I don't understand that. Yeah, because my head has been corrupted by design so far and so deeply that all I can think of is like, how does this look? How does the light fall on it? You know,
To consume by that.
To be consumed by that and to produce that, to be consumed by other people who love the same. So it's a very sort of a close-knit, you know, circuit where if anyone wants to talk about it beyond this, then you would like, okay, you're being boring now, you know. So yeah, Lokesh was in Calcutta doing this thing. So he was accompanying for a person in Calcutta for his rally. So he was his rally photographer. So he would be in a jeep and, you know, photographing kids around, and he would go meet someone. He'd be like, oh, I've got these many problems. This woman would tell him. And the guy, the MLA, so he would tell her that, you know, I'll fix this thing. Don't worry. I'll get your kids to school. Your husband will get a job.
And he would capture that.
He would have to his job. Would have been, he hated it, but made some money out of it, right? So he was looking for opportunities. And by the time we met in this thing, things started to sort of roll in a positive direction by then. We were also exploring things and we were pretty happy on the street. We were literally on the street, you know, just like, we didn't even have lunch money. We were having like cheap kachoris off the road for like three meals a day and, you know, doing all those things. And I remember like I was heartbroken because in Ahmedabad, before we started for Rajasthan, we had a juice and we asked him, we said, okay, you know, we're starting off, let's have some juice before our bus. And we had the juice, and this guy goes like, how much? And I ask him how much, and he goes like, 180 bucks.
What?
I told him, 180 bucks for like two glasses of juice? Are you crazy? And he's like, I didn't even land up in a restaurant. I'm just like a street side person. I felt betrayed. Then that's by far the most expensive thing we did on that trip. I'm not kidding. So yeah, so all of this was happening, and then how I sort of got surrounded by these odd jobs was I was meeting a lot of people. So I would just go up to them and be like, what's happening? I would tell them nothing really is happening and I'm not even like looking for doing anything per se, but someone would be like, okay, my friend is looking for this thing and, you know, doing that. So I was doing a lot of that, you know, just going, having a lot of chai and, you know, with friends and friends of friends, and I got really, really lucky as well in terms of the kind of people I got surrounded by. They were really right. They were looking out for me, and they were saying that, what I know, you don't know what is it that you particularly will be doing or will land up. Photography was, by the way, not in the picture
at all at this point in time.
And it wasn't. I was up for doing another architectural job versus going for master's to something else.
And so, we are in which year right now? Where architecture
2016 is? Monsoons.
Okay.
Yeah. So we were still, you know, just meeting people, going for exhibitions here and there.
Yeah.
Any sort of, you know, stimuli in any manner, we would land up. Yeah. They were like, okay, maybe something is happening there. Huh. We would land up at the most boring gigs and do all of that. So all of this started to happen. When finally, I don't know how to explore that bit where we say that, you know, this is where we took off.
Okay. There's no particular point where
there is no particular point. I had I personally had a massive support from my friend Arushi at that point, because her brother was looking for a photographer and they were saying it's an all right project, we don't want to spend a lot, but we still want to get it documented.
Okay.
So I told him I'll do it.
Okay.
So he said, but you know, don't even have a camera.
Yeah, yeah.
So I told him, no, I've got a friend who's a photographer and I know how to frame things.
Okay.
So I sold it just right to him. Right. And he said, what the hell, like, what's the harm?
Huh.
So we did it. Yeah. No money discussed, nothing. We did it. We photographed. Hmm. It was some cafe in Malviyanagar.
Hmm.
And we gave them photographs. They said not bad. Yeah. So they gave some money out of that. So that was the first project.
For Suran and Dang.
Yeah. Like, we weren't called that then.
Obviously.
And we just went and we did it. And then they said, okay, yeah, not too shabby, you know. Hmm. Yeah, you can do it.
Hmm.
So that gave us some confidence. We're like, okay, why not? So,
but at this point, did you have any kind of confidence when you told them that, you know, I will do this?
No, so I would do that for every job.
Okay.
If someone needs a website, like, I'll do it.
Wow.
I'll make ends meet, I'll do it. So I'm literally trying to be that, you know, broker who would be like, I know a guy who knows a guy, you know, I'll get it done. Yeah, don't worry. I still function like that. So that particular thing was happening. It was out of desperation. You want to do something and you know where you're coming from, and that's not where you want to go again, because you want to explore new avenues, right? So it was also about what is the worst they can do. They can tell you, no, you can't do it, or where is the portfolio, you know, what if you mess up?
Yeah, because usually people do that, you know. They're like, okay, fine, you're a new person, we don't know where you're coming from. I mean, in this case, for your first project, you were going through a friend.
Yeah.
But usually it doesn't really work out that way when you're like a third party, not connected to the person that you're approaching at all. They'll be like, show your portfolio, where is your work? I mean, show us something.
Yeah.
You know, that way. That's why I was asking that, you know, how did you have...
It came about because, see, even meeting through a friend is the meeting you got. It's not the work you got. You got that conversation. That friend bought you that conversation. What you do of that conversation is completely on you.
It's up to you.
So when I would land up in these situations and have a conversation, I would make sure we are talking about what they want to talk about. And if they have an opportunity, I would tell them that, yes, it can be done. And I did oversell at times, and things didn't go right as also. What's the worst they can do? They can tell them, you didn't do a good job. Okay, I didn't know it.
Yeah.
I didn't do a good job.
Yeah.
Also, they'll not pay you enough they promised, right?
Yeah.
They'll not give you that much. But it's fine. You didn't have anything in the first place. Even if you got some, it's fine. And
it's like you have nothing to lose. Just
you really don't have anything to lose. Yeah. So what is it? They'll not give you enough money. You don't have any money to call it not enough money. And second thing is rejection.
Right.
You don't have the opportunity to be rejected in the first place. So why don't you create opportunity?
There's a reason why people don't venture out and do, you know, crazy experimental stuff.
Yeah.
Like, not enough people do that kind of work because they're so concerned about what other people are going to think of them.
Yeah, I completely agree, and I fight with it. See, currently how we're conducting also, probably every fifth assignment is a failure. If a client doesn't get back to you, it's a failure. You didn't deliver it right.
Right.
And there is a very fine difference between doing a job good and doing a job well. So the other jobs, or the kind of jobs which I was landing up with and finishing them off, some of them we did well. But doing it good comes what we are currently doing. So until I did all of that, until I spent all the time which I was spending cleaning those book racks in Studio Mumbai, or, you know, just roaming around the streets, that the kind of experience I gained from it, I'm not saying it's, you know, it'll change your life and you'll be a different person with a different haircut and all that. It's not about that. It's just that
it'll push you in the right direction.
Yeah, it's just that it's that resolution, right? You're trying to chop things off until, unless you're just left with that.
Yeah.
And it's good to see it in the retrospect in that manner, that it's good for this conversation that I see this here and I be like, that was happening is why I'm here and doing this thing. If you do this podcast 10 years later, I'll tell you all of that was happening is why I'm here.
Yeah.
Probably doing something else right? Yeah. So it's about putting yourself out there and making those promises you can't fulfill.
I think it's also about allowing yourself to fail, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think we allow ourselves to fail that much. Yeah. It's like given pressure that, you know, nahi, if you're doing something, then you better be good at it, you know? You better do your best and it's got to be good.
Yeah.
We just don't allow ourselves to fail. I don't know if it's an architecture thing or if it's, I don't know, if it's generally
no, I think
professions.
I think it has a lot to do, I don't want to sound like that guy, but it's to do with our upbringing, this thing. Because we are also raised as every single person to be there, Wonder Woman and, you know, Superman, that, you know, you are that child, you are the golden project who will do everything right, and, you know, you
Simon Sinek said this, like, he was
it?
Talking about millennials. You should listen to the talk, it's very interesting.
What's his name?
Simon Sinek.
Achha, so he's got a podcast where
he has a video. I'll send you the video, Kalinga.
Okay.
Where he talks about millennials in a very interesting way.
So you can link it up when you
I will
share.
Cool.
Perfect. So what it does is that it puts a lot of pressure. They see, there is a lot of support from the family. They want to make sure whatever you're doing, there you get it, right? Which they couldn't, because they were doing like roti kapda and makan. They were struggling with that.
Yeah.
And that's why building houses, residences is such a big project. It's a lot of weight which one puts on a designer, the contractor, everyone who's involved, because it's their everything they have put in, you
Saalun
know.
Ka paisa ikat,
yeah, exactly. It's their earning. Literally, it's their earning of their lifetime. Yeah. People leave their jobs and get involved in their house building process. Yeah. Because, you know, that is it. That's their ultimate souvenir of their lifestyle and, you know, what they're up to. Yeah. So our upbringing is like that. So they be like, okay, we struggle with this thing. Now you have the opportunity where you have all the resources possible. We have the love and support. You have the right communication, education. You're living in an all right country. It's not too bad, right? We can complain about it, but I mean, let's face it. It's good, right? So what ultimately comes down to is that, what are you now capable of doing? Which is a tremendous mental pressure.
ये तो क्योंकि हमने कभी एक्सप्लोर किया ही नहीं.
This is not the, exactly.
He was so streamlined about getting to college, the right college. And that's true. I mean, I see where you're getting at now, finally.
But exactly, it's so tremendous to see that that's where you know things come down to, and it's heartbreaking. That's why we should like speak more about mental illness and about depression, because these are the things that builds up inside your head. And these aren't like physical, this thing. These aren't physical limitations. This is something that you have to explore on your own. And probably with a friend.
Right,
it's better if you have a company.
Yeah, it's better. But it's not always a given, you know. I mean, you're not always...
No, it's good to have a good company.
Good company.
A bad company
good
can really
company.
Take you down. Sorry. Yeah.
Good company.
Good company is the... Yeah. Reliable good company should be... should be the sort of key, or you can do it alone if you're strong enough. But how we were doing those kind of jobs which we didn't know what we want to, like how to build them up, was you have to first put a lot of confidence out, more than you have. It needs to be, you know, that. So the person goes like, okay, if this guy is so confident, probably he'll do it, you know. And so we did also in a couple of places, and So one assignment after another, we were just photographing, like, for friends, and, you know, someone's working somewhere, they'll be like, what are you up to? I'm like, I'm photographing. Yeah. They were like, okay, my senior architect was looking for a photographer.
Yeah.
So we'd go up to them and do that. Yeah. And we had this very odd habit of carrying these. So there was this thing of, like, you don't know, a good photograph you can experience on a good screen.
Right.
I didn't have those resources. So I had a like really, really crappy laptop. So even if I look at a beautiful photo, it would look not as nice because the screen is not nice.
Yeah.
That's the problem, the limitation with the digital format. Yeah. So what I would do is that the kind of good pictures or remotely good I have, I would print them out. it would cost like some 20, 25 bucks to print a postcard. So I would print that. Slowly, I started having like a dozen, 100, 200, you know, a lot of these postcards. So whenever I would go with to an architect's office, I would carry that bunch with me, those postcards. And that's something which architects haven't seen happening with their photographers.
Right.
Because they would land up there with the BB photographs and then... Because... traditionally, photographers are photographers.
Wo photo studios jo hote hain market ke andar.
They are that, and also there are these celebrity photographers or they're well-established photographers, award-winning, this and that, blahs in the life, been to places. Those guys also, they are photographers who are like who are photographers. I'll also clarify what it is. They will shoot a screw or a chair or a building or a laddu or a child. They'll shoot it. You give them whatever it is. That wasn't the case with us. We didn't know otherwise.
Achha.
I didn't have the technical skill set of taking a photograph, is why I relied on Lokesh. And this education sort of started flowing back. So I would start learning techniques. Like technical skills of photographing and, you know, how to edit and what's a good screen, what's a bad screen, color temperature and all of that. So, in reverse, Lokesh would get architectural education. He would start reading like Laurie Baker and Bhava and Hadid. He started reading about all those things. And he would send me references. They were like, oh, this guy, you know, this thing, Doshi won Pritzker and, you know, all this happened. He really deserved it, man. This project is really good. So, you know, all of that started to happen. So, he's more than half of an architect by now. He can critique anyone on their design based on this thing. So, there was this constant, you know, back and forth which was happening. That's why I was saying, like, having good company is something which is of the prime essence.
Someone who's willing to take and
give.
It's
criticism like, and appreciation. So it's like a self self-sufficient system where
self-sustaining also
self-sustaining, right? As well. So if I make a mistake, he will make sure that doesn't happen. Or if he's feeling that this will not come through, I don't feel like doing it, then I make sure that, you know, we're not in that spot. We have to do it because that's not where we are. And we should deliver good. But that's also one thing which you were mentioning earlier, that how do you make sure that your name doesn't get ruined?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Your name will get ruined.
Okay.
No one's here for eternity. Your name will be good with some people and in average and nothing with some, and then absolutely ruined. They'll hate you from their guts and they'll make sure you don't get any work after that. People will be in that spot, but that's there for your entire career. I mean, you're there for a long time. You will make some enemies who will not like you. It's not even on like personal interaction. They'll probably not like what you're wearing, or they didn't like your shoes, or I don't know what it was about exactly. Or you said something, so there'll be all sorts of things. But it's just that shouldn't stop you from like doing something. That's absurd.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think a lot of people can't take that thing, because again, upbringing, like you said, you know, this is my princess and this is my prince child, one and only, you will become the hero of the world, or whatever. I mean, that kind of thought and mentality. But anyway, coming back to let's kind of wrap this up by talking about photography. I mean, I feel when I saw your work, I felt that and also because you mentioned the kind of photographers, I felt that you guys have hit a really important but a very new, like, niche kind of area where honestly, I mean, I don't have much experience, but I've never heard of architectural photography in India, especially in Delhi. I mean, nobody is only an architecture photographer. So how did that work out, and do you think you've hit a niche area? And
I would say it's a very good point actually to discuss, because it wasn't when we had started a couple of years back. So when we landed up in people's offices, so one like very good moment was when we met, this was also one of the gatherings, so this was a friend of a friend of a friend, and we were at some design event, and Madhav was there, Madhav from Anagram. So I told him, I was like, cool guy, I want to meet him. So I told my friend, I was like, you know, I want to meet him, make me meet him. So he said, okay, this guy is doing this thing, and he was going to introduce me, but he didn't know like how to introduce me as. So I chipped in. I was like, I'm an architectural photographer.
Okay.
I was like, cool, I'm looking for for a photographer for this thing. And he gave me his card. I was like, why don't you come by the office? So I said, okay. And when I landed up there with like my... So for that meeting, I bought an iPad.
Okay.
Because I wanted to present my work.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So you have to do it right. Of course, you have to do it right.
Yeah.
But it's not like you'll be dead if you don't do it right. But it's just that you want to do it right. That's progress.
I think you feel it. You feel like, okay, now I've got to do it right. Like now, itne mein chal jayega, but this is like...
Like not to take like the weight away from the effort. Yeah. But you should do it right, but you shouldn't be killed by it. The pressure of it, right? So I landed up there. So I had a bunch of postcards. I had one publication, one magazine I had, which I bought 3 copies of because I would keep showing it to people and it would get ruined. So I opened my crisp new copy. I went there, I laid it on the table. Like we present
for our jury.
Yeah. No, like Trump's presidential dinner. I was like, come dine in.
Okay.
So I exhibited that. And this guy was like... What exactly is happening? I don't quite understand. And he said nobody's like presented work like this before. That's exactly what he told me. He said, it's not a jury. So, but he was immensely impressed by that thing. And he said the same thing which my friend's brother said. What the hell? Let's go with it. So we spent. He gave us our first assignment, which was Artroward, which was the residence we photographed. And it's been, 4 years now? It's still getting published and winning awards in places.
That's great.
And that was sort of a, like, limelight, this thing.
But did you sense that, you know, if you do this well, you're probably going to be in the market
for
good? Yeah,
it felt heavier. You know, like a dent has been formed in the universe for me. So I told Lokesh, I was like... Bloody, this is serious stuff. So we did. So we went there once. It's a far off site. So we went there once. We went there again. We went there 3-4 times. The client was also like, what the hell? Just get your pictures right. But it's just that we kept doing it again and again until we got it right. And that's the sort of persistence he saw in the work. So we gave him, usually we deliver like some, not more than 20 photographs.
Okay.
Even if it's like a decently big space. We gave him like some 60 photographs.
Wow.
Each and every corner which we thought was interesting.
Yeah.
And the back of house, we shot the servant's residence because we thought interesting details are there, which usually doesn't happen. And so he called us over. He was like, he said, these are good photographs. There are a lot of photographs. Like, what do I do with it? So we sat together, we shortlisted. Once it went for first round of publication, 2016 winters, oh man, it started winning award like right, left and center. Everyone noticed.
Did you feel then that you guys have...
Did you call yourselves
Surin and Dag after that?
Yeah, so
that?
November 2016 was sometime when we printed our cards.
So
printing cards is also a funny story because when you print those postcards, they get printed on this roll of paper how we used to print our drawings. So there is a tiny strip which is 2 inches which is left, wasted. So we print our visiting cards on that.
Okay.
So it's sort of like... So it's always printed on a photo paper and we run out of post like our visiting cards like very often until we print our next round of prints. So we started printing things on that. So, you know, since little improvisation started to happen. And
it makes you efficient also. I mean, why waste
does,
that strip of 2 inches?
Exactly.
Like,
so it came out of a place of necessity. So that was happening. But by then, people started hearing about it. So people started offering jobs. So we got this Regal Theatre was getting redone. So that was also a lot of pressure because either we get it right or, you know, it'll be gone forever.
Or these people will hate you.
They will hate us. And we haven't worked with that same person again. But it's just that it was one assignment, extremely good. And that was the end of it. Maybe they'll call us in future. Something will happen. But these are like few of the sort of benchmarks where we do remember that, you know, things are... These were the points where things went a little right in a pool of really wrong things and a lot of hatred and mishaps and, you know, not getting money, getting some money, traveling, not getting travel and all that. So it was that. One assignment which we did after that, looking at Artroward, was Vrahendra Vaklu. That residence was, it's not something I've experienced in Delhi anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Maharani Bagh, and they took 10 years to build it. We took 1 year to photograph that.
And, wow, 1 year.
1 year it took us to get it right. And it, the kind of set we have, we exhibit it in a lot of places now. Because that's something we wear with pride. Those are the things which went right.
Yeah.
And when people started seeing this thing, then they call and things, it's a ball. Once it starts rolling, then things will start to happen. But you have to be open. You have to put yourself out there and make a fool out of yourself and say that probably I'll get this thing. And only if you believe and you feel that you're crazy enough to believe that this guy who's immensely experienced and you don't stand anywhere, you know, in terms of experience and work there, will give me this job. They see a certain promise and they will give you that job.
It's that look in your eyes.
Yeah, you be persistent, man. You scare that person. Or they're like, you bloody give me that job or something's gonna happen. You're like, okay, I take a job. And then you do it right. You have to do it right.
Yeah, that's great. All right. So with that point, let's wrap up today.
Yeah.
It's been a crazy conversation. I mean, I honestly didn't know more than half of it. I mean, how would I? But still. So, yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much
for coming over and recording this.
Yeah, I wish Lokesh was here. He's just
I wish too. That would have been like
collective stories would have been
crazy. Yeah. But you can, you know, we can do this again. I mean, I would
definitely should.
Yeah, we should do this again, and we should get Lokesh on, and we could, you know, discuss more about photography. I think that's something that we didn't really talk about properly. Yeah. So let's do that.
Perfect.
Let's do that.
Perfect.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in, and wait out for the next episode that comes out next week. Okay, bye.